Greg. All right, good morning. I'm being fussed at because I'm late. My clock says 7:58. She said it's 8:03. I said they hadn't even played their music yet. She said they've already finished. So, good morning. How is there? I hope everybody's great this morning. Let's stand up and greet your neighbor. All right, are there any announcements this morning from the congregation? Any announcements that you want to make?
Okay. If you think about a health fair, Southern Hill Hospital, they just asked us to announce it. So we do that. There's some sheets of paper out the back in the lobby. It is the 30th of July. The flowers in the lobby across the way are from funeral of Andy Berkley. He passed away Tuesday, funeral was Friday. And so, the husband brought us a beautiful bouquet on our arrangement, whichever you call it. I think our young people are back from 2 weeks excursion. Some of them were gone for 2 weeks. And so we're glad to have all of you back. If you're gone 1 week or 2 weeks, do they meet today? Are y'all going to take a vacation? You going to meet today?
Yeah, I think we are.
I guess we are.
We're squeezing everything out of Susan we can get out of there. Attendance registers. Have the attendance registers been passed out? If not, I think that's what Miss Louise is going to pass out. Attendance registers, please register your attendance so that we can have a record of it. Prayer and praise requests. Claire?
My friend Fiona's office she's actually been gone for about 10 to 12 days on a mission trip in South Africa with a group of about 50. they're on their way to, I think it's called Deep Soup, and it is a very, very bad area. It is where during apartheid it kind of drove the people to this area, and they all live in shanties. They're not very fond of the whites because of the history. So please lift up that group in your prayers this week. I don't know what group they were traveling with, but they've got about two more weeks. Actually, I think the young is going to be over there for 6 weeks. So just pray for the group that's in South Africa on mission work right now.
Okay. And then after the Lions Club is meeting here Monday night. They take the Bible school at the United Methodist Church, so they take up the fellowship hall. The Lions Club is going to be here. If your young people want to meet both of the Bible school at the United Methodist Church, we did have some handout sheets here. It starts today, I believe. It starts today. Okay, also there's a cheer camp here Tuesday and Thursday, and we hosted that a number of years. And there is a wedding in the sanctuary that's Saturday at 5 o'clock. Kind of a private, semi-private wedding. I guess if you come to the sanctuary, it could be too private, but it's a semi-private wedding in the sanctuary on Saturday.
Okay, any other prayer requests? I'm sorry, I thought I caught a hand over here. Any praise reports? Okay, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer and prepare our hearts for worship. Before I forget, do we have any visitors? Okay. Our opening this morning comes from Genesis chapter 28, and it is responsive. It's in your bulletin. Surely God is in this place. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Let us worship. Turn to chapter 72 and all stand, please. We'll do 1, 3, and 4.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the
to receive God, we know that you are worthy. You are worthy of all that we can offer to you and so much more. Lord, we just come into this place today to be drawn near to the heavenly kingdom. Jacob had an experience out in the open, possibly by himself, but you were there. We come with fellow Christians, we come with seekers, and we come to be drawn to the gate of heaven. We come to get a glimpse, O God. We come to learn more about living for you in this life, that we might be ready for that life to come. Lord, thank you for the privilege of inviting us to bring glory to you, even with our meager efforts. Speak to each of us in these moments. Let your name be glorified. And we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." You may be seated.
It's time to recite the Apostles' Creed. It's found on the screen and also in page 716 of the hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The confession this morning comes from Luke 15, verses 17 through 18. When he came to his senses, he said, "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you.'" A prayer of confession comes from Psalm 139 in Romans 8. Please recite it with me. "We are sometimes doubtful, O God, that you are in our midst. This weary old world groans in pain, and we humans are too often enslaved by fear and suffering. It is so easy to lose hope. Search us, O God, and know our hearts and our thoughts. If there is any wrong in us, lead us in the way everlasting, and teach us your hope that shines even in seemingly hopeless situations." Amen. The assurance of forgiveness comes from Psalm 139 in Romans 8 also. God searches us and knows us and is acquainted with all our thoughts and ways. The good news is that God forgives all our wrongs and invites us to be brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, joint heirs in all that is glorious. Okay, the next hymn is "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," in page 350 in your hymnal. One, two, and four. Offertory sentence this morning comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Would our ushers please come forward?
With our bodies, with our hearts, with our resources, knowing, Lord, that you are the creator of all and you are the giver of every good gift. Receive our tithes and offerings, and so direct their use with your name. If you lift it up, you will be glorified in Jesus' name.
Thank you. bear with us for one moment. I'm sorry. Scripture lesson this morning comes from Colossians 3:12-17 and Ephesians 4:30-52. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The Word of God for the people of God.
Forgiveness. About the third week, we talked about forgiveness. One back on June the 22nd, I believe it was, and then last week. And there is, I could say no limit, but I guess everything has a limit. Everything but God. But the storehouse of Bible, or storehouse in the Bible, of references to forgiveness goes on and on and on and on. I think last week we had the title, Forgive, Forgive, Forgive. And you can go on. Change it just a little bit. Forgive as we forgive. Forgive us as we forgive. And that's what Jesus teaches us. That His forgiveness, God's forgiveness through Christ, is conditional. That it is based on our forgiveness of those who have offended us. Two passages from the Apostle Paul this morning concerning forgiveness and urging us as Christians to forgive, and they mention as God has forgiven us in Jesus Christ. Paul remembered what Jesus had taught, and included it in his writings too. He did not get away from that. This morning, how are you at your forgiveness? Or how are you doing on or at forgiving others? How are you forgiving? How are you doing with your forgiveness? Think about it a moment. Are you one who finds it rather easy to forgive? Or are there situations in your life that you just can't bring yourself to forgive? That brings me to say there are two aspects. I'm saying the same thing I've already said, but in a different way, hopefully. There are two aspects or two parts of living as a Christian, or being a Christian, or the Christian life. One aspect, and it comes first, is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And that's good news. We talk about the gospel, the word gospel meaning good news. And we like to hear the good news. Sometimes we have trouble believing it, comprehending it, accepting it, but we like to understand what it is that God has done for us. The blessings God has brought upon us. And we continue to ask for more blessings. Help us, God. Give us blessings. Forgive us, God, for our sins.
Thank you, God, for the blessings that you have given us. And we have prayer concerns, and many of them being thanks, praise for what God has already done in our midst, in our circle of acquaintances, or among our circle of acquaintances, in our own life. And then we come with more requests for God to do something for us. But there's another aspect of the Christian life, and that is doing what God, and especially what God through Jesus Christ, asks us to do, calls on us to do, demands that we do. And he talks about, Jesus talks about, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. Or we will do what he commands us to do. Forgiving is one aspect of it. And friends, you have experienced, I am sure, that forgiving is not always easy. Think, reflect in your life, some place where you may be now, but have had a difficult time in forgiving someone, something that they have done for you. Can you think of it? Forgiving is not easy. And without help from God, don't think we can forgive. Even if we remember how he has provided forgiveness for us, without the influence, the moving, the urging of his Spirit working in us, forgiving is almost impossible, if not impossible, without the Holy Spirit, that spiritual revelation of God working in us. Because as human beings, flesh and blood people, forgiveness is really not in us, is it? Personally, I can talk a lot about forgiveness, but I have not mastered it. This may be a confession and an admission. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. There's a bunch of cliches out there that people use all the time, and some of these came to my mind. Maybe God revealed them to me as I was working on an introduction to what I would say this morning. I don't claim to have mastered this virtue of forgiving, but I'm working on it. It's a work in progress. You've heard that misused or overused sometimes, but maybe not, if we can be a work in progress. I'm not where I need to be. I'm not where I need to be, but I am not yet there, but I'm not where I once was. I'm not there yet, but I'm not where I once was. I've moved toward the benefit, the blessing of forgiveness. And it is a blessing to forgive. Much closer. And in many more situations or instances than I once was. Not where I need to be, not where I want to be, but I'm not where I was. Philippians, another book of Paul, the letter to the Philippians, the 3rd chapter, the 10th verse, and surrounding verses. Paul talks about I have not yet attained. And he was really particularly talking there about the power of the resurrection.
But he was moving toward it.
And I hope that we can properly or rightly apply that to our forgiveness. We haven't gotten there yet, but we are moving toward it. And that's so much better than sitting down and saying, I'm not going anywhere in this subject. And you have met people there, have you not? I mentioned last week those people who it said of they can be the best friend that you ever had till you do them wrong. If you ever do them wrong once, they will never have anything to do with you again. You're wiped off of their slate of friends or acquaintances even. They know you, but they know you in a bad sense. Paul talked about moving on, getting closer to God. Another step toward God. Another cliche, I guess. I see myself as a work in progress. A work in progress in regard to forgiveness and in regard to many other aspects of the Christian life. I've been trying to live it for 49 years, I guess. No more than that. 54 years or thereabout. Been trying to be a Christian. Hopefully I have grown a lot spiritually. Sometimes we slip back to those pre-Christian days, do we not? You've seen it in me, haven't you? Not all of you, but some of you. But we pick up, we shake it off, we confess it, and we move on to another step. So in regards to forgiveness, I'm a work in progress, and I hope we all are works in progress. As Paul said, I have not yet arrived or attained, but I'm working on it. I'm moving toward. Another cliche is, I don't believe that God is through with me yet. And a few years ago, there was a bunch of bumper stickers. A lot of people had the bumper sticker, God is not through with me yet. And I remember a country song, is it digressing? When you go to the old country songs, I'm just a lump of coal, but I hope to be a diamond someday. Now, I don't know if I'll ever get past the granite, or maybe the limestone, or whatever. I believe coal does become a diamond if it's smashed hard enough, long enough. Is it not? I'm just a lump of coal, hopefully moving toward being a diamond, or a more precious stone than just a lump of coal. But it takes pressure sometimes. Always, doesn't it? It takes pressure and time for that coal to become the diamond. Does it not? A woman by the name of, I guess it was a woman, Eliza. Could have been a man. Didn't say. Eliza Hewitt. H-E-W-I-T-T. She wrote a song that I think illustrates what I'm trying to say. She also wrote Sunshine in My Soul. She wrote more about Jesus, and she wrote When We All Get to Heaven, so we can identify with her. But somehow the newer songbook left this one out. It's Stepping in the Light. Does anybody remember singing Stepping in the Light? Stepping in the Light. And one phrase, but I got the whole the three verses here, says, trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King. And then this was the word, the phrase that caught my memory. shaping our lives by His blessed example. We're shaping our lives. We're taking Jesus as our example and trying to conform our lives to Him, or allow Him, maybe a better way to put it, allow Him to form us into His likeness as we give Him control of our lives. If we surrender ourselves to Him and say to Him, Lord, make me into that individual that You want me to be, that You plan for me to be. Shaping our lives by His blessed example. The example of Jesus, the Christ, the perfect one, God in the flesh. Lord, I'm willing. Are we really willing? Lord, I'm willing. Maybe a better way to put that is, Lord, make me willing. Make me willing to be shaped in Your image. Lord, make me willing to be shaped in Your image. And then when He has made us willing, then we can say, Lord, I'm willing. You have made me willing. I'm willing to be shaped. I'm willing to be forgiving, or whatever else it is that I need to be shaped. This could apply to so many aspects of the Christian life. Forgiveness. Us being forgivers. I think this is one of those pressing on to the mark situations. If we're not there, do we throw up our hands and say we just can't do it? No. We say, Lord, make me willing. Pressing on to the mark situations. It may be, yes it is, a less of me and a more of Jesus situation. A little less of me, a little more of Jesus living through me. John the Baptist had this attitude. John chapter 3, I believe it is, verse 30, he says, I must decrease while Jesus increases. John came to prepare the way for Jesus, to get the road ready, get the path ready. Then Jesus would come and hopefully more would be able to accept Him. He was the forerunner of Jesus, the one come to announce the coming of Jesus. And He says, He is coming and I am not worthy to loose the latches on His sandals. I come to baptize with water. He comes to baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. Less of me, more of Jesus. So can we relate this to our life as forgivers? Or that's just one aspect, but that's what we're thinking of today. Less of us, more of Jesus. And sometimes it's hard to get out of the way. Oh, you know it, and I know it. Most Bible references to forgiveness are about forgiving those who have sinned against us, right? Those who have sinned against us. That's the emphasis there. But the call to forgive also applies when someone has done something to someone else. And many times we will see somebody do something to somebody else in my home community where I grew up. a neighbor, allegedly, I was told, only heard one side of the story, allegedly tried to move a fence on somebody else's land. Just a few feet. But to make their backyard bigger. They knew where the landline was, though, when they built their house. And they built it too close to the landline. Surely they knew. But they moved the fence back. And the owner of the land that they moved the fence on, or moved their landline, just a few feet, they called their hand at it. And that was one situation. But the neighbors got all upset. And my mother, I think, went to her grave, still not forgiving this one neighbor for moving his landline on another neighbor's property. I hope she forgave him. They had done nothing to her, but they did it to a neighbor. So, she wanted nothing to do with them. Over the years, they ease, they at least speak. And then, somebody does something to society. It hasn't really affected us in any way. Or said something that was wrong, and maybe they didn't even think. Well, that teaches us we need to think about what we're saying. But anyhow, didn't think. And they said it, and it hurt somebody's feelings. So I think there's three areas. The golden rule. We all want others to forgive us, don't we? Don't we? I do. Every wrong thing, if I've done anything to any of you, I beg your forgiveness. Sometimes I may have not even known it. Jesus teaches us. Golden rule. Luke 6:31, Matthew 7:12. As we would that others do to us, do likewise to them. Well, that sounds King James-y, doesn't it? Sign on the Triune United Methodist Church reader board a few weeks ago. They changed it, put up Bible school and Saturday night movies, but a few weeks ago it says, God forgives you. Forgive yourself. And sometimes it's hard to forgive ourselves, and maybe one of the reasons we cannot forgive others is we have not forgiven ourselves, and maybe one reason we cannot forgive ourselves is that we haven't forgiven others. You can figure out which one is which. But God forgives you, forgive yourself, and forgive other people. We could add that. Colossians 3:12-13. Colossians 3:12-13. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, gentleness, and patience. Doesn't say anything about hate or stubbornness. Or any of those unchristian characteristics, does it? Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And then verse 14, and over all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:30 says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And then it tells us how not to grieve the Holy Spirit. That's printed for you. With whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, anger, rage, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. The other day I received a newsletter. I get a bunch of newsletters through the office from a bunch of churches, and some of them, it's just filler. They gather something from here, they gather something over here, and they put it together to fill up pages. But we would never do that, do we? Because we always write more and more and more and more, and never have enough room to get it all in there. That's partially true. That's kind of a said tongue in cheek. But anyhow, but I received this newsletter. I think it was from the Fayetteville Church, and was reading over it. And I basically know what he's going to say. He's going to have a sick list. He's going to have a schedule of activities. He's going to have this and count dates, etc., and supper dates, and blah, blah. Most newsletters, if you read them, you probably know what that church's newsletter is going to say. But I saw a newsletter, and it was a filler, and it said, love. And then I started to read it, and it was verses from 1 Corinthians 13. And how many times have we read 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter? I mean, one of the first ones we learned is teenagers, I guess. Love is. I read one verse and I said, oh, I knew that. And I was going to lay it aside. And something happened. Maybe God revealed it to me. But I had this thought. But you need to read it again, Larry. That still happens in my life. So I did. And I came to these words, it. And the it was talking about was love. Love, or it. It keeps no record of wrong. It keeps no record of wrong. Love keeps no record of wrong. And I had a revelation, I thought. God revealed to me, through His Word, love forgives. Love forgives. We have a great need to practice love. Loving forgiveness. We do. We have a great need to practice loving forgiveness. And I have lost you up there, but you have it before you. We have a great need to practice forgiving and to practice forgiving and to practice forgiving some more. And I think I have a plan to enable us to be forgiving. And one is that we start with the little offenses. People have offended us, right? And sometimes it's just a little offense. And then they have done some larger things against us. But if we can start with the little offenses, and Ramsey Bays, some of you listen to him, he talks about doing baby steps with your finances. Well, how about doing baby steps with our Christian life? And in particular, baby steps in our forgiveness. So I'm suggesting, and I believe it's biblical, that we start with the little offenses. And we forgive them. And then we move on. And I can illustrate this by how we learn to read. We didn't learn to read by using words like stepping either. And we didn't learn to read by reading words like Presbyterian, did we? We didn't even learn to read by reading words like Baptist, did we? We learned to read by first learning letters. The alphabet. One letter at a time. And then we moved on to put two letters together and make a two-letter word. And then we moved on and we put three letters together and we made a word. So we started with the little and moved on to the big. And the same will work with forgiving offenses against us. Start with the little ones and learn to forgive them and move on to a bigger one and then move on to a bigger one. And finally, we got to learn some four-letter words, and don't you come up with any of those that we shouldn't say, shouldn't have in our mouth, okay? But see, spot, run. We read that, didn't we? See, spot, run. But we didn't start with even a four-letter word. We started with a one letter. And we got to see, spot, run. And then somewhere along the way, some of us learned to read Presbyterian and other big words, Episcopalian, and other big words like that. I said a lot of people have been Baptists all their life because they couldn't spell Presbyterian. When they filled out a form, they had to... So few people can do it. So anyhow, so start there. So we learn cat, we learn dog, and we learn spot, and then move on. See, spot, go. And then came paragraphs. And it went on and on and on. And if we could apply this to our forgiving, I believe it'll work. When we have mastered forgiving the small, we can move on to three-letter offenses or ten-letter offenses. Fifth, we need to teach forgiveness. We need to teach it by our words as well as by our example or our actions. What are you doing about forgiveness? Friends, there's two parts of the Christian life. One is, I'm repeating what I started with, one is what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. He's provided forgiveness, salvation, eternal life for us. The other aspect of it is what we can do for Him. Or how we can obey what He tells us to do. Let's pray. Lord God, thank You. Thank You for forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. The song is 349. Since I said 1 and 4, let's sing the first verse. It's trust and obey. The two go together. What God has done for us, let's trust in it. Let's obey what He calls us to do. Verse 1, 349. Stand together. Maybe you have a public response that you have made this morning. Forgiving us in Christ Jesus. Lord, instill within us, flood our hearts and souls with forgiveness toward those who have offended us. In Christ's name, Amen.